Hey, it's Dr. Jasmine George Williams, also known as Dr. G. I'm so excited to share the release of my book, Love is at the Root of Resistance, Strategies of Activism, Advocacy, and Liberation, available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle format. To learn more about my research and activism, please visit www.drjasmine.com. That's www.drjasmine. Thank you for your support. All power to the people.
Hello, I am Jolie Robinson, a retired collegiate head women's basketball coach and now a wealthy trader and business owner. Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Do you feel financially stuck or strained? Or maybe you just want to make some extra money? If you said yes to any of these questions, then what are you waiting for? Contact me, 980-298-2231. It has truly changed my finances and life, and I just want to share this with everyone. This could be the change you're looking for.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Good morning and welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports. Hey, really want to give a public service announcement. Go vote. Go vote, especially if you live in Virginia. It's going to be a crucial time. And I will say this, I know that in Virginia there is a question about what is taught in public schools. And so if you got that notification, like I got it on my text, that tells you you need to make sure that you vote. Because we cannot erase history, but the only way we can correct how things are done in 2021 and beyond is to make people aware. So you can't walk asleep. Be aware, and our children need to be aware. And, yeah, it's unpleasant, but I'm sure those in a different community would not say don't teach about the Holocaust, okay? So hopefully that you are listening, you get my vibe, okay? Go vote. And everybody else you know, tell them to vote too, okay? It's not going to go away unless you go to the ballot box. So today I just want to say congratulations to Sonya Steeles, who in January 1 will be the new commissioner for the MEAC. Talk about change. If you live on the East Coast, you went to HBCU, Yeah, you would know how significant this is. And I'm really proud of her, not only because she's a Hampton grad, but we are double sisters. She went to ODU. And I'm just really proud of her. We were SWAs together in the MEAC, and I remember her first day in the leadership. And so that's a fabulous thing to celebrate. So kudos to her. Dr. Jasmine George Williams, I believe, will be on Compass, GPS Compass. It's about it's a platform, another Hamptonian, who every October she does a piece on getting parents through the application process. And she's always given the opportunity to use my clients and sponsors on her platform. And so I'm pretty sure she is going to talk a little bit about her her format, activism growth model, which, again, it allows everyone to realize that you can play a part in that, just like I'm just saying about voting. If you can get if you even volunteer to drive elderly people, do your own Uber just for the to vote. Matter of fact, I'm doing that today. I'm taking my mother to vote early. Yes, I am, and it's interesting because they say where I'm from, they took ownership of a bank. And the bank had a drive-through. So guess what? We're going to drive-through vote. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. So I'm taking off today and making sure that she has her vote in. So that's a part of activism, okay? It's a part of your civil duty. And but the part about making sure other people vote, that's activism. So, and you just think about it. And mind you, let me just say this. I remember when I was interning at the TV station, and election night is one of those busy, busy nights, and interns are all on deck. Where the lady that was a receptionist, she was a woman of color, and she said, "Don't you realize that people died so that you could go vote?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." So I got in my car. And I went to back to Whaley to vote. And I came back before the polls ended to finish my duty as an intern. But she reminded me what was most important. Yes, I was an intern to do my duties, but it was more important for the bigger picture. So, yes, I'm on my soapbox. Go vote, please. Crucial. So that is a part of activism. So, again, Dr. Jasmine George Williams' book, Love is at the Root of Resistance, Strategies for Activism, Advocacy, and Liberation, is a book that I even took when I did my workshops earlier this month because I believe in the product. What I really like is the part of self-reflection. It's a workbook. It allows you to think about how you look at things and then gives you some ideas. Like I said, teaching is a part of it. She has a title, I forgot the name of it, but it was something dealing with scholars and so that they can understand that they are part of activism too. So if you want to get the book, so you'll be all in tune to what I am talking about, go to bit.ly/drgsbooks. Again, bit.ly/drgsbooks. And there's no S on book. And, my mind is turning. And probably going to do some type of voting drive. And I don't know what it is. Post your picture with your, or send me a picture of your sticker. But that probably won't work because people voted early and that kind of thing. But I'm going to think of something just to get everybody to understand how important it is. And I want to, I just really want this book to be in your hand, especially if you have some influence on young people, for them to realize that protesting in the street is not the only way. Okay, it's not the only way. And so that is what she teaches in here. One of the models, again, is called Activism Growth Model, which is a progression. And so to find out more about Dr. G, go to www.drjasmine.com. That's DRGYASMINE.com. And also, I will definitely go gather her presentation on campus GPS and put it inside the group. And also, I was really proud. I think it was Saturday. One of my other clients was on, and she has a book called The Ball Code. And she also has another book. I think she has been on the podcast like last month. But, yeah, I'm just going to say this. My whole point of doing expert marketing is a part of activism, because I want people to know about the specialized knowledge, the intellectual property that is located in the garden and surrounding them. Because continuously, you know, you say you don't know where they are, and they're right here. They're blooming leaders, they're beautiful, and they are making impact. And so the other young lady that was on campus GPS was Zee Butler, again, of the Ball Code. And she talks about the identity of the student athlete and how do you high school to college. And that's some serious stuff, because if you're not really aware and be able to be in tune to your child, when they can be the man or woman of high school and then they start all over again in college, and if they don't have the right mindset, you can lose them. You can tell by when they're not in class. And yeah, they're there for both. Even if you're one and done, you still need to learn about how to prepare for your next. So these folks are using their intellectual property to monetize, get their name out there. And it's so important to get your name out there. The day of just doing a real good job and people noticing you are over. You've got to utilize, you've got to utilize all of these methods, okay? Especially if you consider about consulting, and that's what many people are doing next, such as I did 8 years ago. But I have been consulting since 2005. So, and I was proficient in EADAs and telling the true picture of what you're doing for your athletic department. And explaining that it's more than just deciding that the ticket is going to be split and put it on one side to the other. It has to be a collective university understanding, meaning the business office must actually log in that income and have a line item for your women's program. If you're track coaches coaching both men and women for the EADA, you can put the income and split it down the middle so that you can really show the true picture of how you are having opportunities and access for your women athletes. And that's for the federal document. There's actually, traditionally, it was always due the month of October. And so that's how my name got out there. And, of course, supporting women in their advancement in athletic administration. Many of the women that came up through the CIAA retreats are now doing quite well. We even have Ingrid Wicker McCree, who is actually retiring. So, and after serving over a decade plus. So, yes, I'm a happy camper to know that we've been able to lift others up. So that's what I'm doing with the magazine, Significance in Athletics and Sports. I'm closing out. I want to say I got one more spot left, just one more spot, but the first draft for the third issue is due number one. So if you feel like you can get 500 words out for me to look at between now and November the 1st, contact me so we can get you in the third magazine. I am really trying to get the individuals in the second magazine on the Facebook Live. We just got to get a consistent day and put them all on there. But we have had all of the first round from the first issue on. And, yeah, that's still on sale. It actually will never go off sale because there's some great, great stories, especially about social work. Alliance of Social Workers in Sports. They just had their convention like 2 weeks ago. And that is a profession that we never really thought about. So if you're a social worker, if you major in sociology, there's an opportunity to be certified for about $2,000 and whatnot. And if you, again, 2021 and beyond, this is something that we need to really embrace, because if our student athletes, they've got a lot of things going on, and they're societal pieces. And in order for them to be successful on a college campus, we got to recognize that we may not be able to fix it, but the tools of the social worker may. And I think it was, I saw something, the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, he wrote on his wristbands, "Ask for help." So some of the mental health pieces are dealing with things in the societal issues, and there are agencies that can assist with, and, you know, college campuses may not be aware of that. You know, kids, from one of my speaking engagements, I became aware of one of the participants. A sister passed, and one of the players during that time took care of her sister's child. Now, this child's in college. It just so happens that they did not have sports that year, and it was able to just stay home and do virtual. But can you imagine the pressure of that? And so a sports psychologist really can't help you with that. A coach really can't help you with that. But a social worker in sports can. So you get a chance to meet or understand the philosophy of this organization by getting the magazine and the current president. That's the key. You become connected. And just like I tell my students, if you listen to the podcast, reach out to the person and say, look, I heard your podcast. And I like some follow-up questions, same way with the magazine. Get the magazine, read the magazine. Reach out to the authors. I read your story. I was captivated. Can you tell me more? More importantly, can you tell me how I can become certified? So, yes, they are all on Amazon. They are all on Amazon, first issue and second issue. But if you want to get the e-version, go to payhip.com/Seeds of Empowerment. Again, payhip.com, Seeds of Empowerment. And just a small fee, and just download it. I would love, love, love for you to buy in bulk for your team. We can do it either way. I have bulk prices so that you can get it in their hand, or I can give you a coupon to have them download it. It's ironic that the PDF download and the bulk prices are the same. So it just depends on how you want to do that. But again, just to put it in their faces, all the opportunities that are out there. speaking of 2021 and mental health and all of the things that came along with that, another piece became about awareness. You need to have more than one income stream. You got to have more than one income stream. And the best kind of multiple income stream is passive. And in today's world, that would probably be something that we're not, our parents, and no, our grandparents, weren't aware of. And that's like things like bitcoins and financial tech, and it's called fintech. You know, vehicles that can make money for you while you're asleep. But I'm not saying just drop your money and just experiment and see what happens. I would say be educated, because that's how I move. I got to learn. I got to read. And, you know, we don't go and pull the Encyclopedia Britannica anymore. And, yes, you can go Google, but why not talk to someone that you trust? Jolene Robinson is that such a person that I trust. She's a retired basketball coach, a winning retired basketball coach who's now athletic administrator. But she also has put up her shingle of stepping to win. Stepping to win. And so she is willing to assist you with the financial investor game. And so she has two ways for you to contact her to sign up for her next educational piece about investing. It's 980-298-2231. Just text her and ask, when is your next educational piece? 980-298-2231. Or email her at jrobinson@steppingtowin.com, jrobinson@steppingtowin.com, and stepping in the number two, win.com. And let me just say this. Jolie is very conservative. She's not flashy. And so because I see her moves, I feel pretty confident that she's not going to do something that's just going to be losing money and just trying things. She's very conservative. And so she's someone I would trust. So if this is an avenue that you are interested in, and yeah, I know we get emails and texts and whatnot, but this is somebody that's from our community. So at least listen to what she has to say and check it out. My last resource I like to share is Surviving the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith. And last Friday, I was on College GPS Facebook Live talking to parents about name, image, and likeness possibilities. I gave them because you know it's going to change more than one time, because we still don't have a blanket way of dealing with this by state. But I want to give a shout-out to Carla Williams of University of Virginia. She seemed to push the envelope here in Virginia for the governor not to wait to January to vote on it, but to jump right on it in June. And so that her student, athletes could benefit from this. And so I was talking about that, but I also was saying in conjunction with the possibilities, you need to prepare yourself something that you would have thought you wouldn't have to do to maybe second or third or fourth year if your child was going professional, how to avoid the curse. And the curse is making money than losing money. In the book, it talks about how to select individuals on the team to assist you in your professional level. And, you know, and now agents or anyone that assists. So if you're a PR person assisting a professional athlete, the NCAA considers you like an agent. And they're saying now you can, if you are engaging in name, image, and likeness activity, which you just have to register it. So that means that your student athletes will embark upon some things earlier than they normally would, and it may not be mature enough to know who to do it. And most of the time, they're going to go with who they trust, and who they trust may not be the wise person. They may not know the tax laws for an independent contractor and how to get the right tax information. That will affect the income, which will also lead to the curse if you don't know how to protect the little money you did get. So get this book, Surviving the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse by Tawana Smith, so that you can have a baseline. And it's in three different formats, and it's on Amazon. It's in paperback form, audiobook form, and ebook. And it has been a joy to be able to share these resources. So now I have the opportunity to bring our guest of the hour up, Sunita Gates, Assistant Director of Game Event Management, LSU, who just arrived there this summer. So let's hear from her. Welcome to the garden, Sunita.
Thank you, Monique, and thank you for having me.
Oh, yes. I'm excited to have you here. So let's just jump right on in and talk about your career from college to where you are now.
For sure. So I started college at the University of Charleston in West Virginia, and my athletic director there, Brent Stevens, was very adamant, as well as our sports administration professors were very adamant about getting involved and being involved and using your resources at your hand. So what they did was allow me to kind of work out in the athletic department. So I got to assist in running multiple different things, which I got to run our conference volleyball tournament 1 year, and I really enjoyed what I was doing. And so after that, I went on to the University of Toledo, where Kelly Andrews was fortunate and gave me the opportunity to be her graduate assistant for 2 years there. And she also pushed, you know, using your resources and being able to get out and do different things. So I was able to intern there in our facilities department, which kind of sparked something in me. It's something that I wanted to do and something that I enjoyed. So I spent 2 years there earning my master's degree. And then I had a professor, Michelle Wells, who always told me that no matter what that first job in sports is, you take that job. So I took a risk. I went to the University of California, Merced, as their events coordinator. I had never heard of Merced, California. I had never been to California before I went on that interview. And that kind of was my base point there. At Merced, I did a lot of different things. I managed game operations. With them being such a small NAIA school, you wear multiple hats. So I managed a student staff of 50. I oversaw game scripts, timelines, promotions, ticket operations, concession sales, apparel sales. Pretty much everything about a game I oversaw, music, marketing, halftime entertainment, all those different things. But it kind of gave me a great baseline and a great appreciation for all the different departments. And then after I spent 2 years at Merced from 2016 to 2018, and then I was fortunate enough to be able to come home for 2 years. I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio, so I got to spend 2 years at the University of Akron as their manager of athletic operations and events. And there I kind of focused more on just game management and learning more about facility operations. So I got to manage games for men's and women's basketball, softball, men's soccer, and volleyball. But then I also got to oversee our arena and make sure, you know, we keep the arena up to date. And so here we are today. I was fortunate enough in July of 2021 to be named the new assistant director of game and event management at LSU, which is obviously a dream job for me. It's something that I manifested. So it's really, really fun to see what God can do when you put it out there. So I'm just truly excited and happy for the opportunity to be here.
Wow. And as I hear you talking, my experience has been at HBCU I spent 10 years, 8 at one Division II school and one at Division I. And there, we took the SID took care of all of that. And just to hear, because I studied communications, I knew how to do a rundown. As many things that we just do because we just know we had to do, but to hear you have words to it, what I did, it's like, oh, yeah, I did that. Oh, I did that. But it has grown to a big production, wouldn't you say?
It has. I think that what our SIDs do and what our communication staff is able to do, especially seeing it at such a small level at an NAIA to now being able to see it on a big Power 5 LSU in the SEC, you truly gain an appreciation and kind of seeing what it's like to really truly run in a production. And that's kind of what LSU is about. Everything that we do is we have a standard of excellence here. So it's honored. Like I said, I'm honored to be here and be included in that standard of excellence. But everybody comes to work every day ready to do the best that they can and put their best foot forward to support our teams and our coaches.
So you see what I mean, because you said you were a small NEI. And would you say that really, knowing how to do more with less, really prepared you for your position at LSU?
Yes, ma'am. So learning how to do more with less, I would say, is definitely important, because you get creative, right? You have to be creative. You don't have the money, mm-hmm. you don't have the resources, and you don't have the staff. So how do you maximize your time, and how do you, you know, figure out the problem when you don't have the money to just go and pay for it? It definitely helps you to be more creative, but then you also gain an appreciation for the staff that you work with. Your staff is a lot closer because there are less of you. But then also, I think for me, the biggest piece of it is the student aspect. So overseeing those 50 students, I got to spend a lot of time with them and a lot of time mentoring them. I have students today that I still mentor from UC Merced that still reach out and ask for references and those type of things. So it's definitely a humbling moment, but I'm grateful for every experience that I had.
So you said you manifested the LSU. Can you tell us more about that?
For sure. So I started going to therapy, I would say, right after the pandemic hit. As everybody knows, when you work in sports, so when they shut the sports world down, you have, especially working in facilities and game ops, right, you have all this newfound free time that you never have. I'm always working. It's very few weekends. My family will tell you, like, I miss a lot of things working, especially in the fall. So having that free time really, really forced me to sit down and look at what did I want to do. Where did I want to be, and how could I get there? My therapist encouraged me to write down a list of where did you want to work, where did you see yourself in the next year, 5 years, 10 years, what did you want to do? And then one of the things I tweeted was, like, I want to work for a Power 5. And then I listed every Power 5 that I wanted to work for. And then as soon as I start listening, I've been on a lot of different interviews with a lot of different Power 5 schools. So as soon as I put that out there and I just worked at it and kept applying and kept interviewing, and then unfortunately I was able to get the job here.
Wow. Well, I do have a couple of questions here for you, okay? And so let's be known that you are a role model for others who are following in your footsteps as it relates to events and operations. So to Ray Moore, a grad assistant for events operations at the University of Wisconsin, Parsa Act, she says, well, I'm going to rephrase it so that you can really speak about it in a more positive way. Her question is, how can you be heard in meetings and gain respect as a Black female in a Black-dominated field?
It's hard, it's challenging, it's intimidating at first, for sure. Being the only African-American female in our department in event management and operations, I am the only African-American female, but I've been the only African-American female at every institution that I've been at. You have to have confidence in yourself, but then the biggest thing for me is believing that God put me there, believing mm-hmm. that God has a plan for me, and believing that God wouldn't put me anywhere that I couldn't handle. God has prepared me for where I am. He prepared me for every part of that, every step I've taken in my professional career, and just leaning and trusting on him. Also being confident in my abilities. I do struggle every day, especially being on such a large platform, and understanding that being at an LSU and the expectations and the high expectations that they have, you know, you want to live up to those. So understanding that you have to trust your own abilities. You have to trust what got you there, and you have to trust that you know your stuff. People around you, your support system, your resources, my mentors are great. They're great about reiterating to me. My sister's one of those people who constantly in my ear saying, you deserve to be there, you deserve to be there. So understanding that you deserve to be there, and then also being confident to speak up. If you know something or if you do feel a certain type of way, there's always a way that you can address it, whether it's one-on-one with your supervisor in those meetings, not being afraid to speak up and have that voice. Because obviously they're looking at you when you take on these new titles, right? They're looking at you. They're looking at you for guidance. Coaches are coming to you asking, what do you think or is this capable? Different departments are asking, what can we do or what can't we do? So being confident in that, but then also listening to what they want. The biggest thing is that we never want to tell anybody no. It's never no. It's how can we help it or what way can we do it? It may not be exactly what you wanted, but what can we do? You may not be able to have, you know, the pyro and the glitz and glam at a small school, but what can we do? So trying to figure out a more of a creative way that works for everybody. But the biggest thing for me, I'll go back to it, is confidence in my abilities, leaning on my support system. And then obviously the number one thing is God and understanding and trusting that he has a plan for my life.
Now, do you work with football?
Yep, everybody at LSU works with football. Yep.
Well,
I
was on the board of the Honda board, and so I was chosen to go present the bowl to the person. I think it was gymnastics, young lady.
That's also one of my
sports. Yeah, and so I was sent out there. I think it was in August, and it was hot. But and somebody picked me up in a buggy, you know, and I was like, this is humongous. I mean, it really is like the Super Bowl. I mean, it's humongous. And then I'm in the press box and I'm looking down. I'm like, this is big time. And so when I noticed that I was going to be talking to you and then you talk about being a part of events, you are really part of a massive, humongous movement going on at one time. Because it took forever to go from, I don't even remember where I stayed. So I guess, and I don't even know if I use it, I don't think Uber was out back then. But all I remember is it was massive, massive people. Talking about tailgating, it was, I'm going to call it tail land. It was like, it was everywhere. So, yes, you could be intimidated, but you've chosen to change your mindset that you're supposed to be there. You have knocked out the imposter syndrome. They have no, it has no grasp in your brain.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But LSU, so you're absolutely right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
No, I was going to say you're absolutely right. It is a big production. And that first game day, the jits and the nerves are always there, right? But it's also that thing, and I have to remind myself, you're fortunate to be here. Many people would want to be where you are, so take it in. So that first game day I experienced with all those fans, our first SEC game with over 90,000 fans in our stadium, it was definitely a moment for me to just take back and sit and reflect. So on game day, my one of my jobs is to help us get the gates open. So making sure that we have enough ticket people and security at each gate to make sure that our gates are set up correctly and ready to go when it's time to open those gates 2 hours prior. So it's definitely a sense of ownership that I've taken over it and just trying to do the best that I can to make sure that our fans have a great experience. And the LSU tailgate is like no other. One game I got this opportunity to just ride around and just feel the vibes and to see how it was. These people love LSU and you see it, and because they care so much, you want to care so much. You want to make sure that they experience the best time because we want them to come back and we want to make sure that they had a great experience here.
Wow. So I'm glad you broke it down exactly what you do, because that could really inspire someone to take on this area of sports management, and so that's what I want to do. So ticketing and the game day experiences for folks, that's great. So I got two more questions for you. Eric Moss, University of Akron, says you are extremely hard worker, easy to work with, strong character person, and one of the best people he knows. He would like to ask, how has the transition been leaving Akron, and what has been the biggest adjustment?
For sure. Leaving Akron is obviously hard. My family's in Akron, so Akron awarded me the time to be able to spend those holidays with my family that I never get to spend the time to spend with my two nieces in Columbus and being able to celebrate their birthdays and different achievements in their lives. So leaving Akron was definitely hard. But so I think the transition for me, the biggest change is understanding that on this level, there's so many different people that you have to communicate with. So at Akron, there may be one coach, you speak to one director of ops, and you speak to one person from marketing, and then that's kind of all you kind of have to work through. Here, you're speaking to multiple different departments. So whether it's facilities, whether it's marketing, whether it's SEC network, whether it's, custodial staff, our guest services team. So at Akron, I oversaw guest services. Here, I oversee guest services. So at Akron, our guest services call for a football game was about 50 people. Here, our call for LSU was 500. So getting the confidence and gaining the confidence to be able to speak to a group of 500 people and understanding, helping them to understand our help mentality and doing everything we can in guest services. So I think that's just the biggest transition. It's bigger. It's a lot more people involved. But I think Akron has prepared me in a way to where that I'm more confident in my abilities and the freedom that I was allowed at Akron to kind of just go and take leadership and ownership of my arena, and especially with my game operations for my sports there. I had the support there from my direct supervisor, Alan Hoon, and Paul Hammond, who trusted me and entrusted me to take on those leadership positions, so that I think they in themselves have prepared me for the step that I've taken here. To be able to stand on my own too and understand once again that God has placed me here and this is where I'm supposed to be.
So here is Nyota Brown. What would you tell your 18-year version of yourself?
I was a freshman in college. I was at University of Charleston running cross country and track, still trying to figure out my way, quiet, wasn't really speaking a lot. I would tell my 18-year-old self to take more chances, take more opportunities. Don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid to use your voice. Don't be afraid to speak out. Do different things. Try everything. try everything. Because you only have that one life. But I wouldn't change it either, though. I think that time was growth for me. That time was a year of transitioning. So finding myself and becoming more confident in who I am and what I wanted to do, and also trusting my instincts. A lot of people kind of shrugged their shoulders or looked at me funny when I told them that I was majoring in sports. There's still people today, and there were people along my career that told me I would never make it. So just trusting myself and trusting my abilities and trusting that if this is what you want to do, no matter what people say, you put the work in and you continue to work hard, you will stand out whether you get the recognition or not, because I think a lot of that too plays into that as well, especially being a female in this industry and a female in this particular role in collegiate athletics. You think that you're forgotten about, but understanding that you're meant to be there and you stand out no matter how hard you work. It's a passage in the Bible. I can't remember which one, but it says work as hard as the Lord is watching. It doesn't matter who's watching, who's paying attention. Your hard work will speak for itself. And that's kind of what I would tell my 18-year-old self. You know, just keep working hard, keep pushing, keep doing everything you're doing, and it will come. You will see it come to pass.
Wow. So how did you... when you went to college, you knew exactly that you wanted to major in sports. How did that come about?
So when I was in high school, we did a senior project about what do you want to do with your life. And I thought I wanted to be a coach. I was like, I'm going to shadow my high school basketball coach and I'm going to see what he does. And then I learned, coach is not really for me. You spend a lot of hours in coaching, especially at the high school level. You give a lot to a program and you don't make a lot of money. I had a professor in undergrad that said, if you want to make a lot of money, this is the wrong major for you. You're not going to make money in sports, which is true. It's going to take some time for you to make a decent paycheck in sports. It's going to take some time, so it's not. You don't get into sports for the money. When I got to Charleston, I thought I wanted to be an athletic trainer. And then I realized I wasn't that good at science, so maybe that's not the road I want to take. But I knew I wanted to do something that I truly enjoyed and something that wouldn't feel like work. I tell my younger brother all the time and my younger sister as well that we have to find careers and jobs that don't feel like work. It shouldn't feel like work. You're already going to, especially in what I do, I spend on a football game day, we're here at 6 a.m., and I don't leave until 2 a.m. the next morning. So the amount of time that I spend at a school I'm at, you have to, it can't feel like work. It has to be fun. You have to truly enjoy it. So I really just sat down and took time. What do you like to do? I didn't find events right away. It wasn't something that I jumped right into. It was something that I had to try different things. And I was, once again, Michelle Wells is that professor who just constantly pushed me. You got to try different things, try new things. So I tried marketing. I tried hanging out with my my college coach, John Paul. He was a SID also at the University of Charleston because, you know, at D2 schools, they, coaches, head coaches also wear different hats. So he's mm-hmm. like, hey, I need some help. I need some help with the games. And so I spent some time with him and learned that wasn't really what I wanted to do. So just trying different things and trying what did you like. And I truly found passion in organizing things and planning different events and truly learning what goes on behind the scenes, right? Because as a former collegiate athlete, you don't see what goes into setting up that track or who's contacting your visiting team, who's making sure your officials get in, who's planning out how hard marketing works to plan out each point in the game and create a true game day experience for your fans. You don't get to see any of that. So I definitely learned that there is someone behind the magic, right? There is someone who's responsible for making sure that these games go well, and I truly pride myself on hoping that at every institution that I've been at, I've helped to make that just a little bit better. So it's definitely a process. It wasn't something I definitely just went into. I had to try a lot of different things and just found what I enjoyed and what made me happy.
Well, I don't know if you heard this, but I believe reads are seeds. And, you know, my company is called Seeds of Empowerment. We lead mm-hmm. others to greatness. So what is a book that you would like to drop in the garden to help you grow?
A book that helped me grow. I can't think of the title, but it was a book by Carla Williams. I got it at, I went to NACWA's before they became Women Leaders. It was a book mm-hmm, about mm-hmm. Just speaking for yourself. I have to find you the title and send it to you. But it was a book you got it?
I think I have it. Yeah.
It's Fighting her name to Win, I think.
Yes, right. I got all her books, matter of fact.
Yep.
Her name is Williams, though. That's what her name is Carla Harris.
Harris, that's what it is.
Carla Williams is the AD for UVA. Yeah, because I got the book I have, Strategies to Win. I'm looking at right now. Carla A. Harris.
It's a red cover.
Yes, ma'am. Looking at it right now.
Yep, that's the one. So reading that book and understanding it truly, I listened to her talk at NACWA, and it was a speech about being your authentic self and showing up to work being your authentic self. And for, like I said, a young African-American female in a predominantly male-dominated world, that was really important for me to hear at the age of, I think I was, 21, 22. So just hearing that speak and hearing her speak and reading her book just about how do you fight for yourself and standing up for yourself and not being afraid to stand up for yourself and to ask for what you want. Men do it in our business all the time. Men will apply for jobs that they don't even qualify for, but we don't do it. We immediately take ourselves out if we only miss one of the requirements, right? But men mm-hmm. over meet 3 out of the 5 requirements and apply for a job. So that book for sure is definitely something that I've read and something that has helped me kind of establish my footing and confidence in this industry and just understanding, that God didn't put me here. I'm not here by accident. I'm not here by accident. This is the life and the path that he wants me in. So all I can do is make the best out of it and do the best that I can each and every day.
I think you have done fabulous because, I don't plan on going back to do game day ops, but you did make me feel pretty good that I had some I did some good work because the fact that it's a bigger production, I was able to do it with my two hands and my little brain and my little students. And so, the biggest thing that I did was the CIAA basketball tournament, and I played.
I always wanted to go to CIAA so bad. I want to go so bad. Like, I just want to be around the HBCU love and see what that's like, because I wasn't fortunate enough to go to an HBCU, and I have friends that are in North Carolina, and they tell me about how much fun the TIAA is, and it's something that was also one of my goals. Was to, at one point in time, I thought I wanted to work for a conference, and I was like, if I could work for any conference, I want to work for the TIAA.
Well, I'm sure someone will hear this and share it with Jackie McWilliams. And then I know you heard me say that the MEAC just named a woman commissioner starting January 1.
I did. And I think that's so awesome. That's so cool. Like, I think women in sports are definitely the rock and the backbone, as women are in this country, and especially African-American women. Like, women are it, and this is a great time for women in collegiate athletics. It's definitely nice to see, and it's inspiring to see so many African-American women take on those commissioner roles and those AD roles. It's definitely, definitely inspiring. It makes you feel like there is an opportunity for you.
But let me just drop this seed, okay? So if you were at LSU, all right, down the road at Dillard, you got Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes. She's also a commissioner. So you can go get your feel on down the road if you got some, you know, when you want to take a break, you can get all that HBCU kind of feel.
I appreciate it. I've actually met her once, and I think I met her at the NACWA convention. So she was very, very nice, and she gave us she did a talk there, and she gave us her card, and she truly was a resource. So I definitely should reach out to her and try to get that connection back.
Yeah, see,
so that would be pretty dope.
Family feel. Yeah, look, you just tell her the garden sent you, and she will open the door. Okay.
For sure, appreciate it.
All right. It has been a delight to have you on the show today, and I look forward to hearing about your connection with Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and thank you again for giving me the platform and for everything that you're doing for women and African-American women and young women in collegiate athletics. It truly means a lot, and you are definitely making a way and creating an avenue for us, and I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It truly is a joy, And just like you, all the glory and everything goes to God, because it truly is a download. Because I definitely didn't sit down and plan it as so. And being 8 seasons in, I didn't even know what I was doing when the man asked me come and do a radio. And I was like, first of all, this ain't radio. I know radio. I went to school for this. This is So when I grabbed the word podcast, oh, I can do that. I can say I'm doing that, because I really had a hard time telling people I was on the radio when I knew I was not. And so I appreciate that. That puts a smile on my face. And it's interesting, because it's like a commitment for 8 years to be on something is pretty cool. So I appreciate you saying that. And, longevity in relationships are key. And my engineer, Jamla Harrison, is one I have known for over 25 years, and I really appreciate her being my eyes and ears. She has her own company called Refined Solutions, and she has a background in athletic administration, so I appreciate her. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates on show guests and podcasts, and I will put the book in there. Follow us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, and have a significant rest of the day.